This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Are you all able to hear me? Just send one message so that I know. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, alhamdulillah. Awesome. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's session of Quranic Pearls, inshallah, we will be looking at an ayah from Juz number 19. And this ayah is from Surah Al-Insan, verses 8 to 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan, and the captive. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Saying, we feed you only for the face of Allah, only for the countenance of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We wish not from you any reward or any gratitude. There are two kinds of people in this world. First, those who only think about themselves, who only care about their self-interests. And this is why they engage in things that bring them some personal gain. Such people do not have any compassion or concern for others. Such people who are just focused on themselves, who are selfish, who are just takers, are deprived of giving. Secondly, the second type of people are those who, even when they themselves may be in need, are concerned about the needs of others. At times, they will even give preference to other people over themselves. It pains them to see other people in pain. They pay regard to their own feelings and also the feelings of other people. And such people are a blessing for the creation of Allah on earth. You see, when there is genuine faith in the heart, it is manifested through one's actions, through one's attitude towards other people. So we see in this ayah that without waiting for any thanks or any reward, these people go on to bring benefit to others. And such people are beloved to Allah, and they also love Allah. And in their love for Allah, they are willing to do all good things. So those who do good to others, we learn that such people most definitely find goodness and reward. These verses that I've just read before you, that you can see, these verses are from Surah Al-Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. Indeed, the righteous will drink from a cup of wine whose mixture is of kafur. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. A spring of which the righteous servants of Allah will drink, and they will make it gush forth in force and abundance. Who are these people who will be treated so honorably, so generously in the gardens of paradise? They are yufuna bin nadri wa yakhafuna yawman kana sharruhu mustatira. They are people who fulfill their vows and fear a day whose evil will be widespread. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan, and the captive. And they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. They say, we feed you only for the face of Allah. We wish not from you any reward or gratitude. So these are people who will receive a generous reward in paradise. Why? Because in the world, they cared for the needs of others. And why did they do that? Because of their love for Allah. They love Allah, and this is why they care about the creation of Allah. They want to please Allah, and this is why they take care of the creation of Allah. So they used to fulfill the promises that they made with Allah, and they were afraid of the Day of Judgment. And the Day of Judgment is described in these verses as a day whose evil and harm will reach everywhere. And this is the fear that urged them to do good deeds purely for the sake of Allah. It is this fear that led them to hasten, to rush in doing good deeds, and especially to perform these good deeds for the sake of Allah alone, to see the face of Allah. That this means that their good deeds were purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they expected no reward or thanks from any person whatsoever. So in this ayah, it has been said that وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, that they give food in spite of love for it. Now, ala hubbihi has been interpreted in a number of ways. The first interpretation is what you can see in the translation, that they give food in spite of love for that food, meaning they would love to eat that food themselves, but still they actually gave that food to other people. Secondly, this has been interpreted as that they gave food because of their love for Allah. Because they love Allah, they're willing to give anything for the sake of Allah. And a third interpretation is that they give food to others in spite of shortage of food. Because you see, when you have a little bit of food left, there's a different kind of love that you have for that food. How do you feel towards the last cookie, right? Or the last piece of meat that's left in the skillet, or the last serving of food that you really want to eat because you're hungry, the last samosa, right? The last one. When there is little food left, when there's shortage of food, then there's a different kind of love and attraction that you have for that food. So it is said over here that وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, that they give food to others even though they themselves are in need. Or they give food to others even though they love to eat that food themselves. Because Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain piety. You can never attain the good reward until you spend out of what you love. So they themselves want to eat. They need to eat. But then they see that someone is hungrier or someone is more eager to enjoy that food. So they give that food to those who are unable to get that food themselves. Why are they unable to get that food themselves? Because they are miskeen, yatim, asir. They're needy, orphan, or captive. Meaning because of their poverty, because of their weakness, because of their immobility, they're not able to get that food themselves. So what do these righteous people do? They give them that food. You see, the miskeen is the person who is in need of another's aid. They're not able to help themselves. They're not able to earn themselves. They're not able to go and buy food themselves. Yatim is the child whose father has passed away. So this child is unable to look after himself or herself. And the asir is the prisoner, the one who is confined, is imprisoned. They're not free. And remember that these verses are Makki. So they were revealed before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, before the glory days of Islam. So the prisoner over here includes any prisoner. or even slave, or a Muslim who was imprisoned by a mushrik in Mecca, unable to go around freely and live their life. And we see so many examples of that among the companions, how so many companions were imprisoned and they were tortured. And some have said that the asid, the prisoner over here, refers to individuals who become socially incompetent or who become mentally disabled because of imprisonment and torture. Because they were previously imprisoned and they were tortured so severely that they are no longer able to fulfill their own needs. They're no longer able to take care of themselves. So the righteous slaves of Allah take care of the needs of those people who are unable to take care of themselves. And we see that so often people are rendered immobile, or they're confined, or sometimes they're in complete social isolation because of sickness, sometimes because of travel restrictions. And especially these days, if a person, you know, has the virus, then they have to socially isolate themselves. And what happens then? They're not able to go outside and buy food. They're not able to continue working. They're not able to continue earning an income. And so even though they may be physically able, they're restricted. Their freedom is restricted. So the asir is not just a prisoner, someone who is in the prison, but also someone who is restricted, someone who has lost their mobility, someone who has lost their freedom, whatever the cause may be. And then we see over here that specifically what is mentioned here is that وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ, they give food to them. Why? Because food is a basic human need that all humans share. Every single human being needs to eat food. And we see that feeding other people is a symbol of generosity, of compassion, and of showing honor and regard to other human beings, to treat them with dignity. And here it has been said that the righteous, when they give food to others, they say that إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that we feed you only for the face of Allah. Meaning they say this in their hearts. And these words show what great sincerity they have. That the only reason why they're giving food is to seek wajhullah, to seek the face of Allah. They want the honor, the privilege of seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. They want their Lord to be pleased with them. They want their reward from Allah alone. So they say, لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We wish not from you any reward or gratitude. Because the reward that Allah gives, no one else can give that reward. Remember that. The reward that Allah gives to His slaves is too huge and too great. Any, if all of the people gather together to reward you for something, their reward can never ever match the reward that Allah can give. So this is why they say, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا, which means that they do not seek any acknowledgement. They do not seek any praise, any verbal or monetary reward from people. And sometimes, this is so sad, but we get offended when people do not praise the food that we have prepared, when people do not thank us for the food that we have sent them. And sometimes we become so cheap that we actively ask them, so how was it? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? We actively seek praise and gratitude from people. You see, seeking reward from Allah alone means that you want the greatest and the best reward possible. And that means that your deed must be performed with absolute sincerity. And sincerity means that you only expect reward from Allah. You don't expect any kind of reward from people. Because if you expect something from them, that could possibly diminish or cancel out your reward from Allah entirely. So do not ask people for anything. Do not even say that, please make dua for me. Because sometimes when we, you know, feed someone or we give some money to them, we give them a gift and people are thanking us, or, you know, they're appreciating us, we say something like, oh, just remember me in your du'as. Even that is a form of expecting a reward from people. Do not even demand that, because that is a form of expecting a return from them. Of course, the recipient, meaning if we have been given some kind of help, assistance, food, gift from someone, then absolutely it is our responsibility that we should thank them and we should make dua for the giver. Because the one who does not show thanks to people does not show thanks to Allah. But the person who is giving should never demand or expect or request any form of return. The person who is giving should not even say that, please make dua for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising such people over here, the abrar. He's praising not just their action of feeding people, but also the state of their hearts. Mujahid says that the words, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that we only feed you for the countenance of Allah, they don't actually say these words out loud to the person that they're feeding. This is their self-talk. This is what they say to themselves in their heart. And only Allah hears them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the hearts of such people, the sincerity that dwells in their heart. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. And you see, feeding people, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ, feeding people is something that is greatly appreciated in our religion. We see that Allah Azza wa Jal Himself feeds His creation. He attributes this action to Himself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ, that He is the one who feeds, He gives food, and He is not fed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for His creation that they feed one another. We learned that Ibrahim alayhi salam described his Lord as who? الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِي وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِي, the one who created me, so He is the one who guides me. And He is the one who gives me to eat and He gives me to drink. So Allah Himself feeds His creation, and He likes for us that we should also feed one another. We should also give food to one another. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He feeds His creation, He feeds them so generously. Just think about the volume of food that the earth produces on a regular basis. Allahu Akbar. And the different varieties of food, the different kinds and types of food, different sizes, different fragrances, different flavors. And think about how every creature needs, a different kind of food. What the whale eats is very different from what a dolphin eats, right? And what other fish eat, what the jellyfish eat, and what the creatures of the sea eat, again, is very different from what the creatures of the land eat. And no two creatures eat the exact same kind of food, right? Every creature has its own requirement. What may be very beneficial to one creature may be toxic and lethal for another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Abasa, ayah 24 to 32, that فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَى طَعَامِهِ, then let mankind look at his food. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا, how we poured down water in torrents. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا, then we broke open the earth, splitting it with sprouts. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا, and we caused to grow within it grain. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا, and grapes and herbage. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا, and olive and palm trees. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا, and gardens of dense shrubbery. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا, and fruit and grass. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, as enjoyment for you and your grazing livestock. Allahu Akbar. Yani all of this food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the earth to produce, yes, you people eat it, but other creatures also eat it. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who feeds all His creatures. We learn in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ, and He it is who causes gardens to grow, both trellised and untrellised. وَالنَّخْلَ وَالزَّرْعَ مُخْتَلِفًا أُكُلُهُ, and palm trees and crops of different kinds of food. وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَالرُّمَّانِ, and olives and pomegranates. متشابها وغير متشابه, similar and dissimilar. كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر. So eat of each of its fruit when it yields. Such varieties of food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced for you, eat them, enjoy them. But then at the same time, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, and give its due on the day of its harvest. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and do not be excessive, because إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, indeed he does not like those who commit excess. So Allah Azza wa Jal encourages us to benefit from the good things that he has provided us, and also give this food to others, share it with others. And you see, when it comes to certain forms of zakat, such as zakat that is due on harvest, then that has to be given in the form of food. You see, zakat is due on the harvest of staple foods, grains, and even dates and raisins. And we see that even when it comes to fitrana, the fitrana which is due on Eid al-Fitr at the end of Ramadan, that is also supposed to be given in the form of food. When it comes to different expiations, different kafarat, again, food is supposed to be given. So for example, the expiation for accidental murder, the expiation for pronouncing zihar, a certain form of divorce, and the expiation for breaking the obligatory fast in Ramadan by engaging in sexual activity. Yani, this is also something that requires an expiation. And the expiation for all of these violations is what? It is to feed 60 people in need, right? That is one of the options. And the expiation of a broken oath also is what? Feeding of 10 people in need. Violating the limits of ihram when a person goes for hajj, right? They're supposed to observe the limits of ihram. But if they violate any of those, then again, they have to give some form of expiation. And that expiation is to feed 6 persons in need. So we see that feeding people is something that is encouraged, and it is also something that is mandated in certain situations. When it comes to the sacrifice at Eid al-Adha, again, we eat from it and we also give to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرُ, that eat from it and also feed the needy and the beggar. In another place, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ, eat of it and feed the miserable and poor. At Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ said that Hajj mabrur is one in which people are fed. بِرُّ الْحَجِّ إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ, the piety of Hajj is that you give food to people and that you speak good to people. This is what makes Hajj even more rewardable. It is the quality of the people of paradise, the people of Ashabul Yameen, the people on the right side, that they give food. أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَةٍ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَةٍ, that the people of the right side are who? They are those who feed others on a day of severe hunger. Who do they give food to? An orphan of near relationship or a needy person in misery. Allahu Akbar. So you see, there is a deep connection between iman and feeding people, feeding those in need. And it is the quality of the people of faith, people of iman, that they feed others. In contrast, those who do not believe are described as people who do not feed others. In Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of hell that إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, that this person who is in hell, who is being tormented and punished in hell, is such that he did not used to believe in Allah the Most Great. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ, and he did not encourage the feeding of the one in need. In Surah Al-Ma'un, we learn, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ, have you considered the case of the one who denies the religion or who denies the Day of Judgment? That is the person who repelled the orphan. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ, and he does not encourage the feeding of those in need. So we see that Abu Darda رضي الله عنه, He would ask his wife when she was preparing food that add more water to the broth. Why? To increase the volume of the food. Because when the volume of the food is increased, then we can share it with our neighbors and with those in need. And he would say that we have freed ourselves from half of the chain of hell by believing. Let us get rid of the rest of it by feeding other people, by feeding those in need. We learn in a hadith that the best deed is to bring delight to a believer. And how can you do that? How can you bring delight? How can you bring joy to someone? That you can cover their nakedness. They don't have proper clothing, appropriate clothing. Cover them, provide them proper clothing. And so often we see children, poor children, not being dressed properly because they don't have any proper clothing. In the winter, Allahu Akbar, so many people do not have access to warm clothing. So one of the best deeds is to bring delight to a believer. How do you do that? You can cover his nakedness. You can feed him to his fill or fulfill some need of his. A lot of people who are experiencing poverty, yes, they're able to get by. They're not starving necessarily because they're able to eat a little bit here, a little bit there. But how often do they eat to their fill, where they feel satiated, where they feel satisfied? So often it happens that we go to pick up food, especially in Muslim countries. This is something very common, that at the time of iftar, you go to, buy some food for your family. And then there are poor people over there, poor children over there who are begging in the streets, who have not eaten to their fill in a very long time. So buy them food as well. And don't just give them just a little bit. Buy them an entire meal so they can eat to their fill. They can feel fully satisfied and satiated. This is one of the best good deeds. And remember that feeding people is not limited to just feeding those in need, feeding the orphans or the prisoners. Yes, in these verses that's mentioned. But we learn that there's reward in feeding anybody. Any human being, any person, any living creature, even your own family, your neighbors, and even your enemies. Why? Because life depends on food. It's a human need. It is something that brings happiness to people. It is something that brings comfort and relief to people. And not just people, any creature. We learn that the Prophet ﷺ said, "At'imul ja'ir," feed the hungry, visit the sick, and free the captive. And sometimes the hungry is not necessarily, someone who is really poor, who has not had proper food to eat in a very long time. The hungry can be a traveler. The hungry can be your own child. The hungry can be your own spouse who has been working nonstop the entire day that they didn't get a chance to sit and have lunch or to eat properly. So the hungry, the ja'ir, is someone who is hungry. And remember that this is a deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. A man came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which people are most beloved to Allah and which deeds are most beloved to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people most beloved to Allah are those who are most beneficial to people. أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنْفَعُوهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. Those who benefit the people the most. And he said, the deeds that are most beloved to Allah are that you bring delight to a believer. You remove some anguish from him. You pay off his debt or you remove his hunger. This is one of the best deeds. We learned that the best people are who? Those who feed others. We learned that Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that khiyarukum man at'am at'am, the best of you are those who feed others. And Suhayb radiallahu anhu would feed people so much, so frequently, that Umar radiallahu anhu once criticized him, that he said that you are very excessive and in feeding other people. So Suhayb radiallahu anhu said that, why should I not do that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the best of you are those who feed others? And this is not something to be criticized. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged us to do. And there is reward in feeding every living thing, not just humans, even animals. So we learned that once a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that sometimes I'm giving water to my camels and a stray camel shows up, or a camel belonging to someone else shows up, meaning that camel is also thirsty and it wants water. So then I give it water. Is there any reward in this? Do I get any benefit and any reward by feeding a camel that is not mine? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is reward in feeding every creature with a liver, meaning every living thing, everything that has some appetite, that has that need to eat, to drink. So when you feed that creature, whether that creature is big or small, even a thirsty dog, right? There is reward in that. And remember that giving food, feeding others, is a form of charity. In a hadith, we learn that what you feed yourself is an act of charity for you. Can you imagine? مَا أَطْعَمْتَ نَفْسَكْ فَهُوَ لَكَ صَدَقَةً. Because some people have difficulty in feeding themselves. They feel guilty. Or sometimes there is, some kind of fear associated with feeding yourself, that you feel that you're being selfish, or that you feel that you're not worthy of eating good food, or that sometimes we feel like it's not nice to just focus on yourself or to pay attention to your own needs. We think that it's more rewardable that we pay attention to the needs of others. But remember, when you feed your body good food, when you feed your body the food that it needs, this is rewardable. And this is very important for us to share with people. Because these days, when it comes to eating disorders, they're so common. And a lot of times, this is associated with what? Eating is associated with a sense of guilt. Right? So we need to, remind one another of this. And we need to teach our children about this as well, that we need to have a healthy approach towards eating, that what you feed yourself is an act of charity. You're not being selfish or greedy. You're not being, greedy in the sense that you are neglecting doing good. No, when you take care of yourself, this is also rewardable. The hadith continues that what you feed your child is an act of charity for you. Some people feel that, when they're paying for groceries, they feel like they're wasting their money. You're not wasting your money when you're buying food for your children. What you feed your wife is an act of charity for you, meaning you're rewarded for the food that you buy for your wife. You see, sometimes what happens that if a woman is pregnant, or a woman is not feeling well, or she has a certain, wish to eat some kind of food, and the husband has to, go buy this food and that food, they begin to feel burdened by that. But if we remember this, if men remember this, that when they give food, when they feed their wife, this is something rewardable, then every trip to the grocery store becomes easier, because you remember that this is something rewardable. And what you feed your servant is an act of charity for you. So feeding people, even your dependents, even your family, is an act of charity. This is something that is rewarded. And remember that when you give food as charity, then this is a charity that grows and increases with Allah. We learn in a hadith that a date, a piece of date, one fruit, something so small that can fit between your two fingers, it can turn into the size of a mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it to grow until it turns into the size of Mount Uhud. Allahu Akbar, meaning the reward for this deed is multiplied many times over. And do not belittle any kind of food that you can give to someone. Even if it's very small, it is still rewardable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اجعلوا بينكم وبين النار حجابا. That place between yourself and hellfire is screen. Meaning, put a shield between yourself and the fire, even if it is with a piece of date. Even if you cannot give a whole date, give a piece of it. Even that is rewardable. Sa'id ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu said that the Muslims used to think that there was no reward in giving small things as charity. So if a poor person showed up at their door, they did not think it was appropriate to give a date or a walnut or a piece of bread as charity. So they would return the beggar empty-handed, saying, "I don't have anything, there is nothing," because they would think to themselves that reward is for giving something proper, something that we would like for ourselves. And we would not like to receive just a walnut or just a piece of bread or just one date. So they would not give small pieces of food or small things as charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ, that whoever does even an atom's weight of good will see it. Meaning the tiniest particle of goodness, if you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values that and He can reward you for it. So through that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged the believers to give even if it is a little bit, because it's possible that that little bit is increased and multiplied. So sometimes, you know, we belittle the food that we can share with others. We say, oh, this package is too small, or it's just two mangoes, right? Or it's just half of a watermelon. It doesn't make sense to give only a little bit. No, if that is all you can give at the time, give it. Because you never know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase for you. Of course, you should make sure that that food is good. It's not spoiled. It's not, you know, of bad quality. It's not burnt and things like that. And it should be edible, right? Not something that will make someone sick, but it should be edible. And even if it's of small quantity, and that is all you can give at the time, then give it. And remember that when you include other people in the food that you're eating, then there's blessing in that food. So for example, you bring groceries for your family and you include other people in that. So you give some of it, or you have prepared food and you share some of it, right? Then there is blessing in that food. We learned that once a man complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we eat food, but we do not feel satisfied. The Prophet ﷺ said that perhaps you eat separately. So he said, eat together and mention the name of Allah so that your food is blessed for you. Hassan ibn Ali said that blessings rush to the house in which others are fed. From the knife to the hump of the camel, meaning every part and everything of that house is affected with barakah, with blessing, with goodness. Because the knife is, you know, something small, right? And the hump of a camel, right? It's something that is high and something that is tall, something that is, bigger. So everything and every part of that house is blessed when people are fed in that house. So make your house a house in which other people are fed, or a house from which other people are fed. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that my friend, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, advised me of three things. And one of them is that when you prepare soup, then increase the volume by adding water and share it with your neighbor. So sometimes, you know, we don't have the opportunity to feed, people who are in need, or even our own relatives or friends, or even other Muslims, because we may be living in a neighborhood where we don't have such people around us. And especially these days, because of, limitations on, you know, social gatherings, it can be hard to, share your food with others. But it is still possible to share food with your neighbors. And it doesn't have to be food that you prepared in your own house, right? It can also be packaged food. It can be fruit that is unwashed, unpeeled, straight from the grocery store. You know, you just deliver it to their door. So see what is appropriate for the place and the time that you're living in, the neighborhood that you're in. But make it a point that you share food, you give to others. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that the believer is not such that he eats to his fill while his neighbor on his side goes hungry. He said, no person should eat to his fill while his neighbor goes hungry. So we all should be careful about that. And there's that famous story of that couple,
from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent one of his guests to. And this family did not have much food. The only food that they had was just enough for their children. So they put their children to bed, they turned the lamp off, and they just put the food that they had in front of the guest. And the guest ate, and in the darkness, you know, they pretended like they were eating. So the guest thought that they were also eating, but the guest was the only one who was eating. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, that they give preference over themselves to others, even though they themselves are in need. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and whoever is saved from the selfishness of his soul, then such people will be successful. So sometimes it happens that, you know, the only food that you have is food that's enough for you. Or you feel afraid that, you know, this is barely enough for us. And, you know, we don't think about, you know, sharing that with others. But at times, make yourself give to others what you have bought for your own self, what you have bought for your own family. And make a commitment with yourself that when someone comes asking you for something, do not return them empty-handed. Because a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what makes Jannah due on a person, meaning what guarantees that a person will definitely enter Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a few things, and of them was وَبَذْلُ الطَّعَامِ, feed people generously. We learn in another hadith that lofty homes in paradise are reserved for people who feed others. And it is a deed that raises a person's degrees in paradise. And you see, when you feed others, you bring benefit to yourself, and also you bring benefit to others. How? That first of all, you remove your own greed. You remove your own selfishness, right? And then when you feed someone who is hungry, of course you are fulfilling their need, but you're also having another impact on them. That sometimes people have a certain type of, you know, certain anger or dislike for you. But when you feed them, then that anger and that dislike goes away. Or sometimes people who are suffering from poverty, they develop, you know, hatred for people who are wealthy. So when you feed them, then it removes their anger and their dislike. So feeding other people has multiple, numerous benefits, not just in the hereafter, but even in the world, right? And it is something that improves social relationships. And we see that in contrast, not feeding other people, not feeding others is something that is condemnable. It is something that leads to hell. We learn that the people of hell will say, وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ, we were not of those people who feed those in need. We were not of those people. And we learn about the people of the garden in Surah Al-Qalam, when they swore that they will not give any of the harvest to the people in need. What happened? By the time they reached their garden to harvest it, that garden was ruined. It was all burnt up. So when you deprive others deliberately, what happens is that you end up depriving yourself. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We learned that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask that, O son of Adam, I was sick, you did not visit me. O son of Adam, I was hungry, you did not feed me. O son of Adam, I was thirsty, you did not give me to drink. And the person will be surprised. He will say, Ya Rab, you are the Lord of the worlds. How could you be sick and how could I visit you? You are the Lord of the worlds. How could you be hungry and how could I feed you? Right? You are the Lord of the worlds. How could you be thirsty and how could I give you to drink? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, did you not know that such and such servant of mine was sick? And if you had visited him, you would have found me there. Such and such servant of mine was hungry. If you had fed him, you would have found me there. Such and such servant of mine was thirsty. If you had given him to drink, you would have found me there. Meaning, this is a deed through which we find closeness to Allah. This is something that draws us nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we deprive people of food that we can easily share with them, even water that we can easily give them, then if we deprive them, then this is a sin. We learn that three people are such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment. And what does that mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very angry with them. And one of them is a person who had extra water, who had a whole lot of water, but he would not let travelers drink from it. And he was too stingy to give them water to drink. And if he gave them that water to drink, it would not put him in poverty. And it was not hard for him to share, but still he was selfish. So this is something that angers Allah Azza wa Jal. So we all need to pay attention to this. And remember that feeding others, this is a prophetic trait. We learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran in multiple places, how when the angels came in the form of humans, right, he just treated them as guests and he welcomed them and he served them roasted meat, right? We learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who would so often, you know, include his companions when he was eating. And even Irbad ibn Sariya, he said that once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called me to eat sahur with him. You know, typically we share iftar with people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him to come join him and eat sahur with him fi Ramadan. And he said, halumma ila al-ghada al-mubarak, that come to the blessed meal, that come eat this meal with me. And the Sahaba followed in these footsteps. We learned that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu never used to eat food unless a poor person was there to eat with him. And we also learned that once Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu fell ill and he expressed his wish to eat grapes. So his wife sent someone to buy grapes. And as he was bringing them, a beggar followed that man. And when he reached the door of the house of Ibn Umar, that beggar began asking for food. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, imagine he is sick and he can hear that beggar asking. He says, give him the grapes. And so they gave the beggar the grapes. So then his wife sent someone to buy grapes again. And then the same thing happened. And this happened a number of times. So then she finally said to the beggar that, do not come again and again like this, because otherwise you will not find any goodness with me. Meaning then she became a little worried for her husband. He was sick, he needed to eat. And every time that food was brought to him, then the beggar asked, and Ibn Umar would give preference to the beggar over himself. But this shows us how the Sahaba, their way was that they would give food to others. And at times they would even give preference to others. There's a beautiful story about Aisha radiallahu anha, that once she was fasting and a beggar came. So she said to her servant that, give him bread. And the servant said that, you know, the bread is the only thing we have right now. It's just one piece of bread and you're fasting. This is the only food that we have for iftar. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, give it to the beggar. So of course the servant had to listen to Aisha radiallahu anha. She gave it to the beggar. And what happened later on in the evening is that someone sent a gift of a goat to Aisha radiallahu anha. Yani so much more food came. So Aisha radiallahu anha called her servant and she said to her that, eat of this. This is better than that one piece of bread. Allahu Akbar. And so often you will be amazed that you share a little bit of food with someone. And sometimes, you know, you're looking forward to eat a certain food at iftar yourself, but then you realize that, you know, if they eat it, they will be so happy. So you give it to them, you give it to someone else, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensates you with something that is even better. We learned that the Salaf, it was their way. The way of the righteous predecessors was that they would include others in their meals, especially in iftar. We learn about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Malik ibn Dinar, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And these are people who would often, break their fast with others. They would not eat alone. We learn that Hassan al-Basri, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, they would often fast themselves in order to be able to feed others. Meaning they would keep voluntary fasts outside of Ramadan. Why? So that they would have food that they could give to others. Some of them never ate alone. And at the time of iftar, they would take their food to the mosque in order to share food with other people. And sometimes they would feed others only what they like to eat themselves, like, you know, sweets and desserts and things like that. And they would also save food in order to, serve it to their guests or serve it to people who came to visit them. So we should also think about how we can feed people and how we can include others in the good food that we are enjoying. But one important thing is that innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, that we only feed you for the face of Allah. Because the thing is that everything besides the face of Allah will perish. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Nothing else endures. So for example, if you feed someone something and they get very happy with you and they give you, let's say, more food, right, as gratitude, what's going to happen to that food? It's going to finish. Even if they give you, something to keep in your house, it will eventually finish. So, yes, you're not asking for that reward, but the point over here is that do not expect, any reward from people that you help, that you give something to. Expect only the wajhullah. That should be your ultimate goal, because nothing else can endure. Seek the reward that is everlasting. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will perish except his face. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Allah is best, right? So remember that there is nothing like Allah. So do not compare the face of Allah with the face of the creation, because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. But remember that seeing Allah, seeing the face of Allah is a privilege. It's a reward that is reserved for Allah's special servants. Mujahid said about the ayah, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, that those who do good, they will have good and even more. He said regarding even more, that they will have forgiveness and the great pleasure of Allah. And others said that the additional reward is an-nadharu ila wajhi, that the additional reward is that they will be given the privilege of seeing Allah. And remember that every blessing, every reward will diminish when the people of paradise will see the face of Allah. It is the greatest honor. It is the greatest reward which the believers will be honored with on the day of judgment. And they will also be honored with it in paradise. In a hadith, we learn that when the people of paradise will enter paradise, Allah Azza wa Jal will ask them, "Do you wish me to give you anything more?" They will say, "Have you not brightened our faces, Ya Rab? Have you not made us enter paradise? Have you not saved us from fire?" Meaning, what more could we ask for? What more could there possibly be? And we would think that this is the greatest, the highest reward that a person could get. What more could there possibly be? And this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. So what will happen? Allah will lift the veil and they will be able to see Allah. And this blessing, this gift will be the most dearer reward, the most dearest reward that they will ever experience in paradise. Yani this reward will be greater than any other reward that they will enjoy. And every Friday will be Yawmul Mazid. In Jannah, it will be the day of increase, meaning the day that they will see Allah. So it's the day that they will increase in their goodness, in their reward, in their happiness, in their delight. So this should be our ultimate goal, our ultimate desire, the yearning that we should have in our hearts, that Ya Rab, I want to see you. Ya Rab, I want your approval. And remember, this is a condition for the acceptance of good deeds, that we do things purely for the sake of Allah. So whatever that we are doing, anything big or small, let's do it for His sake, for His face alone. And remember that this is what brings sweetness of faith. This is what makes good deeds enjoyable as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. He who gives from his wealth to purify himself. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And not giving for anyone who has done him a favor to be rewarded. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. But only seeking the face of his Lord, the Most High. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And he will be satisfied. He will be pleased. Meaning the person who does good seeking the face of Allah, then Allah will be pleased with him. So let us pray salah seeking his face. Let us fast seeking his face. Let us give zakat seeking his face. Let us give sadaqah and spend on others seeking his face. Let us give whatever we give to people, not seeking their smiles and their approvals, but rather seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the morsel of food that you put in someone's mouth, even when you're seeking knowledge, when you're teaching, when you're reciting Quran, when you're making dhikr, when you give a donation, when you leave something for the sake of Allah, when you strive in the cause of Allah, anything big or small, the goal should be, Ya Rab, I want to see you. Ya Rab, I want the privilege of seeing you, that you are pleased with me. When it comes to sabr also, observing patience, controlling our anger, making a commitment, forgiving other people, fulfilling our responsibilities, all of these we should do purely for the sake of Allah. And we should also ask Allah, وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. Ya Rab, I ask you for the pleasure of looking at your face. I want that reward. I want that privilege. I want to experience that joy of looking at you. So what should we do then? What are the main takeaways? That first of all, let us bring sincerity to our deeds. And how do we do that? By reminding ourselves when we're doing any good deed, that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. This is liwajhillah. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillah. Even when we are dealing with other people, we're working with them, we're giving something to them, we're fulfilling their need. Let us remind ourselves that this is for the sake of Allah. Do not sell yourself short by expecting anything less than the face of Allah. And in your good deeds, in the work that you do, direct your face to Allah, meaning submit your face to Allah and direct your face to Allah. Live your life while facing your Lord. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. And keep the company of people who seek the face of their Lord, who don't seek worldly things and you know, the reward from people. Keep the company of people who are eager for the rewards of Allah. And also when you make dua to Allah, set yourself before Allah, right? Set your face before Allah. In a hadith, we learn that there is no Muslim who fixes his face before Allah Azza wa Jal in begging, in asking, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him something sooner or later. So direct your face to Allah, surrender yourself to Allah, and seek the face of Allah, and keep the company of such people as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sincerity. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.